How many of you have ever been what we call tied up in knots? Anybody ever experienced that? It's good to see all of you tonight. Obviously, there were those who did not find it convenient to be here tonight. But anyway, we're glad that you're here. It will take some time to get adjusted, I know, to a 5 o'clock hour. That is a little bit early, and people no doubt will be coming in at 6 o'clock. And be nice to them, will you? Anyway, we are glad that you're here tonight. I asked the question, how many of you have ever really felt that you were just tied up in knots? I've heard people say that. Well, you know, I just feel so stressed out. I want to talk to you tonight about three knots that God can untie. You know, sometimes people say there are knots that you cannot untie. Well, there are three tonight that perhaps maybe only God can untie. The Bible says, first of all, that we are to fret not. He loves you. Sometimes when we get so stressed out in life, and really when we talk about being stressed out, we're talking about worry and frustration over things of little consequence. And we need to realize that God loves us, and we get so stressed out, and when we are worried and troubled, and sometimes we're like Martha, who are anxious and troubled about many things, Jesus said, many times we are troubled and anxious, just as she was. The Bible says in the book of John, the 13th chapter and verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was coming, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. You know, the thing that gives me great comfort in life is to know that God loves me, and I don't have to live a stressed out life. Do I go through stress? Do you live in a stressful world? Obviously, we all do. We get up in the morning, and you know, you could let it stress you if you did. And you've often heard the old expression, physicians often say there's good stress and bad stress, and maybe that's true. You know, work is stressful, it is. But that's not necessarily bad stress. But sometimes when we let our mind just go wild with things that perhaps are going on around us, and we become so troubled and worried and anxious, then that's bad stress. And it is in that time when we are told by God to fret not. Jesus, in the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew, said, consider the birds of the heaven, how your heavenly Father feedeth them. He said, you know, if you're really worried about what you're going to put on in life and whether you're really going to have the essentials of living, he talked about Solomon and all of his glory that was much like and really not as beautiful as that lily of the field which God brought up in the morning. And so God says unto us, fret not. But sometimes we are a people that are so fretful in life. I read the other day where someone said that, and probably it's true, I don't know if it's true with you or not, people are more afraid of public speaking than they are snakes. Now that doesn't seem to make sense to me because I've never actually walked through perhaps a barren dry land and someone suddenly say, watch out for that podium. They don't do that. Jerry Seinfeld said, according to most studies, people's number one fear is public speaking. Number two is death. Death is number two. Now, does that sound right? If it does, that means that the average person, if you go to a funeral, you're better off in the casket than you are doing the eulogy. We are a people that are extremely fretful in life. We worry about everything. Now, I'm telling you, it's the honest truth. You know what I'm talking about. You're worried about something right now. I can see the look on your face. Many of you are stressed out about something that is going on in your life. I don't know what it is, but worry is something that is chronic. It is something that people live with day in and day out. I saw, by the way, Dwight, I saw a sign on a church sign out front that said something like this. It said, don't let worry kill you. Let the church help. I had to think about that one for a minute. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves the question, am I really doing what I can to help the church, or am I more of a hindrance to the body of Christ by what I'm doing and how I'm living? Jesus will bring the peace of God into our hearts, according to Matthew 6, and according to what Paul would write to the Philippian brethren when he said, "Be anxious in nothing, but by prayer and with supplication let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace that surpasseth all understanding shall guard and keep your minds through Jesus Christ our Lord." That is the only knot that God can untie. The world cannot do it. The world's not going to stop you from worrying. You're not. You can go to any kind of psychoanalyst. You can go to a psychologist. You can go to a psychiatrist. And I can tell you they are not going to eliminate your worries. There is only one who can do that. And we're promised in the Holy Scriptures that he can do it. And that is God Almighty. Fret not. But then there's another knot. Do you know the Bible says faint not? The word faint is an interesting word in the scripture, and it's a word that Jesus employed in the book of Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. When he said, men ought always pray and faint not. Now he's not talking about passing out, but what he's talking about is quitting what you're doing. Don't abdicate your relationship with God as a Christian. Do not quit. For David said in Psalms 139 and verse 10, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Imagine that, if you will, the picture of God. He's holding us with one hand, and he's leading us with the other. You couldn't ask for anything better than that. God says, faint not, don't give up. God will come through. You know, sometimes we are a people of little trust in God. We are. But we're told in Proverbs, the third chapter, to trust in God. You ever wonder why God says that we are to trust in him, and why throughout the Holy Scriptures that particular phrase is employed so many, many times? Trust God. Trust him. It's because we are a people that are prone to faint and quit instead of trusting. Look at yourself and you'll falter. But look at Christ and you will see victory. We all deal, as I said, with stress and weariness in life. And we have to remember that Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Many of us are laden down with anxiety. Many of us are so overwhelmed with things that are going on in our life that we are in a constant state of fret, and if not, we are on the brink of quitting. We are ready to faint and give up. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you think the hand of God is a safe place to be? I do. If he says that, David says he's going to lead me with one, he's going to hold me with the other, I think that's a pretty secure place, wouldn't you? It is. And God is going to lead us. God is going to take care of us. And he's going to watch over us. It amazes me sometimes how traumatically fearful we are about a lot of things in life. A man one time had gone to see his therapist because he had a fear of monsters living under his bed. The man has been seeing his doctor for months. And every time he would come into the doctor's office, he would ask him, have you made any progress? Every time the man would say no. The man decided to go to see another doctor. And when he went back to the other doctor, the doctor asked him, have you made any progress? And the man said, yes. He says, I'm feeling much better now. And the doctor asked, what happened? The man said, well, I went to another doctor and he cured me in one session. And the doctor asked, well, what did he tell you to do? The man said, he just told me to cut off the legs of my bed. You know, sometimes in life the solution is very simple. We're a people that are prone to fear. We are. And that's another fear not that we have to deal with, isn't it? Sometimes fear can really tie you up in knots. We are fretful, worry about a lot of things. Sometimes we're ready to quit. We're ready to faint. But last of all, sometimes we're so fearful in life. In the book of Psalms 121 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Fear not, for he keeps you." He said, "The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand." Have you ever wondered why God uses that expression? And I've told you once before, I think, that when you read the Bible, you'll understand that there's a little phrase in the Word of God that is used 365 times, believe it or not. And it's the little phrase that says, "Fear not." God does not want us to live in fear and in dread. And I think probably most people do. And I think that's why God says over and over to all of us, do not fear. Fear is nothing more than being slaves in bondage. And sometimes we are in bondage to fear every day. We're fearful about what's going to happen to the economy. We're fearful about what's going to happen worldwide. We're fearful about what's going to happen in our own lives. We're fearful about the world in general. And we have to remember that God is the one that brought it into existence, and he is the one who upholds it with the power of his own hand. And when Paul went to Athens, by the way, a country that is on the brink of disaster and collapse financially, it was in that country that Paul would remind the Athenians that God is the one in whom we live and we move and we have our very being. Maybe some missionary needs to go there tonight and remind those folks that God is still in control. You don't have to live tied up in the knot of fear. We need to let God put courage back into us through his Holy Spirit. And we need to use our three big weapons that I'm going to tell you about here in a moment that will empower you to do that. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says that God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So if we're fearful tonight and we're tied up in knots, it didn't come from God. But God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind. Why is it sometimes that we always think the worst instead of the best? 1 John 4 and verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whosoever fears has not been perfected in love." Now think about that one, folks. Whosoever fears has not been perfected, that is, mature in that loving relationship with God. Isaiah in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah 41 and verse 10, that same chapter, by the way, or the chapter further over, one chapter over, that talks about the fact that we're like the eagles, and God empowers us to be as strong as the eagles who mount. He says, we can mount up with eagle's wings. We can run and faint not. Isaiah said, and he encourages us with these words. He says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. And I will strengthen you, surely I will help you, surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Psalms 56 and verse 11, the psalmist declares, "In God I trust, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." We are so fearful again of what others might do. We just have to remember again that God is in control. There were two guys one time who had were in a lunatic asylum, I guess you could say. And one night they decided that they didn't really like living in that asylum anymore. They decided that they were going to escape. So like they got up onto the roof, and there, just across this narrow gap, they see rooftops of the town, stretching away into the moonlight, stretching away to freedom. Now the first guy, he jumps right across with no problem. But his friend, his friend didn't dare make the leap. You see, he was afraid of falling. So the first guy had an ingenious idea. He said, hey, I have my flashlight with me, and I'll shine it across the gap between the buildings. And you can walk along the beam, and you can join me. But the second guy just shakes his head. He says, do you think I'm crazy? You'd turn it off when I was halfway across. Our fears are so unwarranted in life, aren't they? They are. David said again, in God I will put my trust and I will not be afraid. Psalms chapter 5 and 11 says, let all who take refuge in you, O God, be glad, and let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them and those who love your name, that they may rejoice in you. Luke 21 and verse 26. Bible says that man's heart is failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, what are those three great weapons that we can use to help God untie those knots in our life? The knot of fret, the knot of faint, and the knot of fear. Well, one of them is the Word of God itself, the Holy Scriptures. You know, when Jesus could have been tied up in knots with a tempter in the book of Matthew, the 4th chapter, verse 1 through 11, you know what he did when he was faced with a crisis? He quoted Scripture. I'm afraid tonight that maybe sometimes the reason people don't quote the Scripture is because they don't know the Scripture. They don't. Maybe we need to read it. Put it in your heart. Know it. Because the Word of God will serve you well. Do you know the Bible refers to the Word of God as a weapon? For in Ephesians chapter 6, it is called the sword of the Spirit. And that sword is used not only for defense purposes, but it is used for offensive purposes. The sword of the Spirit, Paul says, which is the Word of God. You have a mighty weapon tonight if you have the Bible in your hand. You have the strongest weapon ever known to mankind. And that's the Word of God. But not only do we have the weapon called the Word of God, we have another great tool that God gives us, and it's called the Spirit of God. Sometimes people are so fearful to even claim the fact that the Holy Spirit lives within them. Paul says, know ye not that the Holy Spirit dwelleth in you, except you be reprobate? Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't live in a reprobate heart, but if the Holy Spirit lives in an honest, sincere heart, the Spirit does a lot of things for us. The Spirit empowers us. It's God-given. And whereby even we cry, Abba, Father, my Father. God gives it to us. Maybe not in the measure that the apostles had it, but I believe that the Holy Spirit does come to live in our lives when we become children of God. For Christ said that we are to baptize men and women in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And in the book of Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that when one is baptized into Christ, he said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you receive the Spirit of the Holy Spirit of God. I know one thing, that the Holy Spirit does not live in a heart that is filled with doubt. And so tonight, if you doubt whether or not you have the Spirit of God, then you may not have the Spirit of God. The Bible in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, the very chapter that talks about the fact that we are to sing and make melody in our hearts, says also that we are to be filled with the Spirit. But then there's the weapon, last of all, that God gives unto us, and it's called the blood of Christ. Now, you may have never thought about the blood of Christ being a great tool to help us overcome, but it is. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, the Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, verse 9. But back in verse 7, he says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all of our sin. Sometimes people fret because of their sin. They do. They worry constantly about their sin. Sometimes people faint because of their sin. They had rather give up the walk with Christ than to give up their sin. And some people live in such a sense of terror and fear and apprehension about whether or not they're ready, going to be ready when Christ comes again. And so they live in fear, one of the greatest weapons that we have. Against fear is the blood of Jesus Christ. And so if you're tied up in knots tonight, let me tell you something. There's a better way to live. For he came to give life, John 10 and verse 10. He said, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And that's the way I have chosen to live. I don't worry. I am concerned at times about things, but I don't let it worry me. I don't. I think it's a horrible way to live. And I don't live in fear. I don't fear what man can do to me. You know what? I fear more about what God might do to those who are not Christians. Don't faint. Hang in there. And that's the lesson tonight. I thank you for coming. If you're here and you're not a Christian, then obviously God wants you to experience a joy being a child of God. And it's a joy that is affordable to all of us. Jesus paid the price. And he's willing to give it to you tonight if you really want it. If you're willing to turn from your sin and acknowledge Christ tonight as the only one who can get you out of that knotted situation. And you're willing to relinquish it all upon him through repentance and by being immersed or baptized tonight for the remission of your sin, then the Holy Spirit of God can come into your life and you can have, I'm going to tell you something, folks, it is the most life-changing experience you will ever, ever have. And if you're a child of God and a Christian, and maybe tonight, you know, and when Paul writes these words, he's writing basically to Christians that are going through these same feelings that we often have, feelings that well up within our hearts, fear and anxiety and fret and all these things. But these things can be removed, and that's what Paul says. And if you want to get rid of them tonight, well, the place to begin is right here by coming to acknowledge your fear and ask God to help you to overcome it. And we're willing to pray with you tonight that that might take place and God can untie that knot. While we stand and while we sing.
Hear the sweet voice of